Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, one of several dreams, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And I want to just pause here and tell you that what has been prophesied shall surely come to pass. The word of God will surely come to pass. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And you are not until she brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now going over into chapter 2, we're tracking a man by the name of Joseph as well as his wife. The word of God said in verse 12, being warned, chapter 2, verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, another dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by the night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And would you buckle your seatbelt as you look into the second chapter of Matthew's gospel and read, just follow me there in verse 19. But when Herod was dead, somebody was born, but when Herod was dead. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, another dream, to Joseph in Egypt. And he said, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. It's amazing how enemies have a way of disappearing when your trust is in God. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that, of course, Herod was gone, and then his son was reigning in his stead, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Another dream. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. There's several threads of truth that we see in the story concerning what we call the Christmas story here in Matthew. I thank God for Mary. I think our Catholic friends make too much out of Mary, and I think evangelicals don't make enough out of Mary. I don't think we really give her the just due for this great woman of faith. She was a woman that's much greater than anything that we ever are able to express. Maybe it's the season. Maybe it's the time of the world in which we live. But God spoke a word into my heart to minister today on Joseph, a good man. And I'm going to reverse order a little bit, because usually Mary has the spotlight as we think of the birth of Christ. But there was also someone else who was a vital, vital part of all that happened. A gentle giant by the name of Joseph. One of those men that are in everyone's church, and there, we have several, many powerful men in this church. But noticing that the Bible called Joseph a just man. Sometimes we think of Joseph as just being someone who was there but not really there. Joseph was very much there. He was a good man. He was a just man. And in just going through a few of the root meanings of just as it is used in relation to this powerful man of God, who was a just man, according to verse 19, a just man means this, a holy man, or a man who desires to do the right thing, a man who is right, righteous. Joseph was as righteous as you could be at that time in the economy and the plan of God. A man of character is another insight that surfaces. A holy man, a righteous man, a man of character, a man who, listen to this, knew the power of decision. Joseph could make a decision. He knew the power of a faith decision. Joseph knew the powerful principle of a right decision. And the follow through, the execution, the staying the course until that decision has come full circle. I want to say that one more time. We need anointed decision makers in the world today. We need them in the church world. We need them in the political world. And we should always speak as though television cameras were on us 24 hours a day. We should not say one thing in the light and another in the darkness, one thing out in public and another thing in private, theoretically. Joseph was a man who knew the power of words. He knew the power of a faith decision. He knew how to make a right decision. And he had that something of follow through to see the execution, the staying of the course of a decision. Joseph was a good man. That's another word that comes into it. Good. A good man. A just man, a man who was right with God, a man of principle, a man who was the product of making right decisions, a man whose motto was do what's right because it's right. Make a decision, see it through. Don't be afraid to not only make a decision, but stay with the decision you made if it was a good decision. Joseph heard from God. Now, as we look at these insights, and all of these are insights of the use of that word just, a holy man, a right man, a man of character, a man who knew the power of decision and staying with that decision, a good man, a just man, a man of principle, a principled man. We're talking about not the biological, but the earthly father of Jesus. And if there was ever a day that we need good men, godly men, just men, men of character, men of principle, men who can make a decision. And if it's a right decision, we all have made wrong decisions that we had to go back and take another way. But I'm saying if it's the right decision to have the courage of God and to have the strength of God to see it through, it's so important. Now listen to me carefully. If you had a man of God in your life, you ought to thank God every day you live. If there was a role model, be it a father or an uncle or someone that God put in your, if you had a man of God in your life, you ought to thank God every day of your life, whether it was for a short period of time or for a long period of time, that there was someone in your life that we call a man of God. If you did not have a man of God, please do not feel sad or defeated or feel like this message just completely bypasses you. Because if you had a man of God or you did not have a man of God, it's not too late to be the man of God that you've always desired to be. Unless a person is rotten to the bone and rotten to the core, there's something in every man that wants to do better than what he's doing, that wants to live higher than however he's living, that wants to be an example that no one wants to leave footprints that make the whole world to be a lesser world. As I looked at Joseph, I felt a mandate from God. Thank God for Mary, but I felt a mandate from God. It's time to exalt being a good man. And the only way to be a good man is to be a man of God. There were four ministers, if I remember correctly, that met in Fort Worth we met with a man by the name of Dr. Cole. He was just beginning his ministry. And for some reason, I was called to that meeting a number of years ago. And we all pledged offerings. I think we pledged $200 or $300. It was a hard $200 or $300. I mean, it was just one of those times. But I knew we had to be a part. And we all pledged something. And that was about the average pledge, if I remember, to help Dr. Cole get started in his ministry to men. God used that man in a very significant way to challenge men to stand up and be men. To challenge men to stand up and be men of God. And I'll always be thankful that we had the privilege of sowing some seed there. You say, what are you talking about in this being a man? Well, let's look at some things from the life of Joseph. It's a tremendous subject. Joseph was one of those great men who did not know he was great. I meet them every once in a while. There are giants. There are gentle giants in our land today that most people never really pick up on. But they're men of God. And they're not afraid to be men of God. And they're not afraid to make right decisions. And they're not afraid to do the right thing. Our precious brother that went on to be with the Lord, Mike Magnuson in Grenada, was one of those men. Mike didn't have a clue of the value of his life to the body of Christ. He, time and time again, every once in a while he'd call me and say, Pastor Bob, I just don't feel like I'm doing anything for God. He said, I want to do more for God. And I can say without any fear of contradiction, the man literally gave his life. And I don't have time to go into it. With all of the involvement that he had with Christian television, not only in the Caribbean, but over in Uganda, spending quality time there, putting together things that no one else could have put together like he put together and had the oversight of things that very few, I don't know of anyone that could have done exactly what he did and would have been willing to do what he did. And yet, when it was all over, he said, this was such a rewarding experience, but Brother Bob, I just don't feel like I'm doing anything for God. I said, Mike, you make me feel like resigning the ministry. And of course, he's in the presence of the Lord. But Joseph was a gentle giant. I came out of a restaurant, and I've always been interested in old cars. And especially that, you know, that people taking care of them. And I mean, boy, there was one out there. It was a classic. It was a classic. And after a while, I'm standing there talking, and this guy comes out with his girlfriend, and he goes over to his side. And while he, when he came by, I said, good car. He said, thank you. He goes over to his side, and the girl's over, and she's trying to get the door open, struggling. She finally gets the door open and gets in. And I thought, but a poor man. Great car. He respected his car more than he respected his girl. And God's calling us to a higher level. Great car, poor man. Joseph was a great man who didn't know he was great. He was a considerate man, not minded to make Mary a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. You know, we read this too quickly. Go back and slow it down a little bit. You're talking about a situation that this man, if he was full of ego, if he didn't see it from a God perspective, if he didn't understand the word of God concerning this situation, he would have been long gone out of there. But he was a considerate man. We need considerate men, not minded to make a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. He was a man who provided for his wife and family. I think almost every man wants to do that, but I see some that don't. He was a man that was not afraid to work with his hands. He was not afraid to do what he was gifted to do. A man who earned wages, a man who paid bills, a man who paid the utilities. How in the world can you live in a home and say, I'm not paying anything around here? We need to do some preaching along these lines. I want the benefits. I want the relationship. I want all the blessings. I want all that goes. I want the food. I want a roof over my head. But don't expect any responsibility out of me. That's not relationship. That's a con relationship. Joseph was an honorable man. A man who provided for his wife and family. He earned wages, paid the bills, paid the utilities, a man who cared for the needs of his wife and family. Joseph put himself in a very awkward position if his trip was ego. But it was not. He was an obedient man, a man who obeyed God. Matthew 1:24 said, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." So many are seeking another word from God and they haven't done anything about the last three or four words they've had from God. I mean, as soon as the man woke up, he was about doing what God had showed him to do through the dream and the angel. He was a faith man who dared to believe that I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to be intimidated. I can and I will do my part in changing the world in which I live. A world of fear, a world of oppression, a world that was killing babies. And yet this man rose above the fray and said, I will dare to be a man of God. I will dare to obey God. You see, our nation has problems today because we're hurting for men of God. Now our historians are telling us that all of our forefathers were perverted and they were not men of God, and they're trying to rewrite the history books. Thank God for great men such as David Barton and others that God is raising up to remind us that we came from roots of righteousness. Thank God we still have "In God We Trust." It's still there. We still have "In God We Trust" on our currency. And if there was ever an hour that we need young men of God, young married men of God, middle-aged, retirement men of God. We need men of God in this nation as never before. And until I discovered who I was and what I had in Christ, I'm telling you, I walked with an inferiority complex because I thought I can never measure up. I can never be what God wants me to be. Enough is never enough. Listen to me. There's not one man in this audience that cannot be everything that God called you to be by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it. I may not do it as well as someone else, but I can do it. I may not be as articulate or as effective or as whatever, but I can do what God called me to do. And I'm not just talking about ministers. You can do it where you work. You can do it where you teach. You can do it where your life is an example of all men. I was just thinking of two strong men in my life. My father was a strong example. Dad was quieter with it than Mom. Dad was a strong Southern Baptist layman. But I think back so often to the values that Dad instilled in my life. He had character. His word was his bond. What he said he was going to do, he did. That was the era. My father was raised in Seymour, Texas on a farm, and that was the era that if you had to walk 10 miles to keep your word, you walked 10 miles to keep your word. And then he went to Baylor Law School, worked his way through school, and of course was a practicing attorney until he went on to be with the Lord several years ago. I think of my father-in-law, who was a strong man of God. Strong man of God. I was privileged to work an apprenticeship there and learn so much by observation as well as by teaching. And I know others in this room, your wheels are turning. You'd like to stand up and say, let me talk about the man of God in my life. Let me talk about the influences that I've had in my life. But if you didn't have those influences, or if you did, it's not too late. Listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. It is not too late to be the man of God that God called you to be. It's not too late. In fact, I have a word from God. It begins this day. It begins in this service. It begins as you hear the word of God. Now, there were some lies that Joseph refused to believe. Lies about his time that Joseph refused to buy into. One of those lies was that the world is too dark, too bad, too dangerous to raise children and to serve God. I remember Joy and I, before our children were born, we thought, is the world too difficult a world? Maybe you didn't think that, but I know a lot of other couples that have tried to deal with that. What kind of a world are we bringing children into? But you see, with all the craziness that was going on in Joseph's world, he believed that God was bigger than all the craziness of his day and time. He didn't believe the world was too dark, too bad, too dangerous to bring children to birth and to serve God. Another lie that Joseph refused to buy into, and that is that God could not do the impossible. I preach on that quite a bit, probably because I need it as much as anyone does. But I want to remind you the gospel is not some milquetoast kind of a document that has no power, no changing power, no delivering power, no power to rearrange things in your life. Nothing is impossible with God. I believe that because the Word of God says that. He believed in the miracle of Jesus' virgin birth. How about that one, huh? You think you're having trouble trying to find your car keys? This man had to believe in the virgin birth and to lay his life and his reputation on the line. And not to make Mary feel like some kind of a third-class citizen. Remember years ago a couple that got together and, you know, they shouldn't have, but they got together before they should have gotten together. And strangely enough, the man always accused her of that. And I thought, you know, the last time I remember something like this, it takes two. I'm going to tell you something. We all need grace. And I often thought how harsh and how hard. Hey, you were a part of what you're frustrated about. But you know, the good thing about it, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us. And if mistakes have occurred, go from where you are. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse and wash you from every stain. Another lie that Joseph refused to believe was that there was nothing that he could do to change what was happening in his world. Let me tell you something. If I did not believe that there was anything that Bob Nichols could do about having a part in changing this world, it would just take the heart of the ministry out of me. I believe standing right here in this service right now, I'm doing something that is having a life-changing effect upon the world in which I live. Now, I've grown up in all times and seasons, and I've been through a number of them. But church, get a hold of this. Don't buy in to prophesying doom and gloom over the economy of this nation. Duh, we still live here. Do you remember? Don't buy into it. What should we do? Pray, intercede, speak the word in prayer and intercession over our nation. But Brother Nichols, if Wall Street is successful, there will be people of greed. Honey, there always have been people of greed. Ever since Cain and Abel got into it, the story has been greed. The beat goes on. But there's a lot of God-fearing, tithe-paying people that love God with all their heart that are going to be blessed in the process. You say, what's going to happen to our nation? I was praying about this last week. God said, instead of 3,000, it could have been 3 million. 9/11 could have been 3 million instead of 3,000. Because God laid it on the hearts of some intercessors who didn't say, just do what you got to do, God. But they, like Abraham, interceded. And there are more than 10 righteous in this room and more than 10 million righteous across America. Who knows? Because the number is growing. We need to pray over our nation. We need to pray over our nation. You say, well, what if something happens? If we pray over it, it won't be as bad as it would have been. And God can turn things aside because we still live here. Remember that? We still live here. Joseph did not say, angel, get out of here. Don't talk to me about a Savior being born. This world, there's nothing we can do about our world. There is something we can do about our world, and His name is Jesus. Thank God it's not some little silly flippant type of thing that they're sending out to the troops. But thank God we're living in a day when they're sending out born again spirit filled voices to tell the troops that there is hope and there is help in God Almighty. There is something we can do about our world. Thank God for the Christian television and the influence of it. Thank God for godly speakers and godly evangelists and godly field ministries. And all pastors aren't dead and all churches aren't dead, honey. There's some of us that refuse to roll over and play dead. We're going to fight the fight of faith. We're going to stand up. He didn't believe that there's nothing he could do to change what was happening in his world. We are world shakers and nation shakers. Joseph refused to believe that it was not important for a father to be there. You may not be everything you want to be or be what someone else is, but you be the best. Let God make you the best you can possibly be. Joseph was there for the angel's message from God. You know, heaven must have had some kind of confidence to come and talk to the man. Heaven had to have a revelation that this man would hear God. That he didn't have ungodly music in both ears, or that he wasn't intoxicated, or that he wasn't off on some kind of a crazy sin trip. This man was positioned to hear from God. And that's a very special thing. He was there for the angel's message. He heard, he believed, he obeyed. He was there for Mary. He was there for Jesus. And I'll tell you, he was there as an example for us to this very day. Joseph is still an example for godly men today. I remember, it hasn't been that many years ago, that I heard Billy Graham, before his voice was faltering, as you hear sometime, and yet his spirit is so strong. But I heard Billy Graham say, and I pulled to the side of the road and wrote it down. He said, there is not one problem in our nation that a Holy Ghost revival would not solve. I pulled to the side of the road and I wrote it down. Not one problem in our nation that a real move of God's Spirit. And I thought about the book of Acts, how that it changed the world. I thought about Old Testament revivals under Hezekiah and Asa. And, oh, it's exciting to see that when it seemed like judgment and the judgment of God was inevitable, somebody read the Bible again. Somebody prayed. Somebody called on the name of the Lord. And judgment was averted. I remember when Charles Finney went to Rochester, New York, among many other places. Reader's Digest 1994 said that meeting with Charles Finney back in the early 18s, that it forever changed the character of that city. Houses of prostitution closed. Bars were boarded up. Slavery was abolished in that part of the countryside. That one single revival brought such a righteous impact upon the city of Rochester that they said Rochester to this day still has signs of that great move of God that happened under Charles G. Finney. Forever changed the character of the nation. Not one problem in our nation that a Holy Ghost revival would not solve. Crime, a blessed economy. You know why things are shutting down for the most part? Because of greed. Someone was so greedy that they made a terrible investment. Someone was so greedy that they took a company in a wrong direction. It's not all the fault of the administration that we live in. This thing's been coming for a while. If you go into the tap roots, into the grassroots, somebody's got billions of dollars in a Swiss bank account somewhere, and the rest of America is suffering for it. It's greed. And it's solved by this. Love your neighbor as yourself. If I love you, I will not steal from you. If I love you, I will help you. But I will not be ungodly or illegal or criminal to try to do something just to pad my own pocket. Crime, a blessed economy, divorce, alcoholism, drugs, AIDS, strife among races. 1993 and the great revival that God sent. I know it was controversial, but I'm telling you, I saw tithes and offerings increase 50% at that time. I saw that. And now there's some strange reports coming down that since 9/11 that people are afraid. They're afraid to give. They're afraid that evangelicals, by and large, I'm not going to give you the statistics. I'm not going to speak that out, but I've come across it this week that people literally in certain segments are afraid to give. There's a fear. We're just afraid of what's going to happen. Let me tell you, when revival hits your heart, it'll be like the early church. They'll say, I've got some stuff I don't need. Here it is. Here's something I can sell. Go out and evangelize the world. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's get it busy. Let's do what God called us to do. You know, folks, God's given us a window in this. We're like Uganda. God's given us a window of what, about 3 years? I pray it's more than that. In Uganda, there's 3 or 3.5 years that we still have a born-again president that's in office. By constitution, he cannot run again. Born-again, spirit-filled wife, and we had the privilege of meeting with that president before we left Uganda this last time. In the United States of America, our president's not perfect. I'm not perfect. Anyone want to stand up and say, I'm perfect? But there's something of value to a man that starts the day on his knees, reads the Word of God. That tells me that there's a man that God can do something with. We don't have a choice. We must see a move of God in this nation. You just get so weary of every time it seems like God uses somebody. They blow up on the freeway or get on a head trip or whatever. God raises up men and women that have the character and the courage and the faith and the stability and the honesty and the integrity somehow to help lead this nation in Holy Ghost revival. God send revival to the United States of America. We need some Josephs today. He wasn't a barn burner in that sense of the word, but boy, was he solid. He was there. He was a man that when he gave you a handshake, it was just that way. Very interesting that in the sale of our downtown properties, when we met on that New Year's Eve with one of the leading executives in America, that it was a handshake. And he said, you know, preacher, there's not much of this left going on. But everything that we shook hands about took place. We need something of that to come back to America. Dear God, you do any kind of a deal, you need 3 lawyers present. And you need you have to. I mean, you don't have a choice. Things must be done legally and in order. And they were done legally and in order. But it all started with a handshake. I give my word. I'll do this. You do that. What am I calling for today? Oh, I know there's some that say, man, I can't ever be that. You don't know what a mess I've made of things. And man, I've made mistakes that people don't even know about. And I appreciate your message, Pastor, and I'll try to do a little bit better. But don't look to me to be a Joseph. I'm looking at every man in this room to be a Joseph. Not one of us are excluded. We need it as we've never needed it before. We need men of character, of integrity, that their word is their bond, that know something about loyalty, that know something about doing the right thing, whether anyone's looking or not. To tell the truth the first time when it doesn't seem to make any difference. To just stand up and be counted. Am I preaching an impossible gospel? No, 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 no. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth. Doesn't make any difference what the color of your skin may be or where you come from. It's not too late to start today to be a man of God. It's not too late to start today to stand up and say, I will be one of those that will be responsible for helping to bring change in my life and my company, my corporation, my neighborhood, the church where I attend, into our nation. Don't be a griper, be an intercessor. Don't be a complainer. Be one that speaks the word of God over one another and over this nation. You know, the Elijah, the prophet, he said, you know, I and only I, that'll get you in trouble. I'm the only one left. And God said, prophet of God, you don't understand. I have 7,000 that haven't even bowed their knee to Baal. Is everybody doing it? No! Is everybody lying? No! Is everyone on the take? No. God has thousands, yea, millions. And there's a strong representation in this room today of men who say, I really want to do the right thing. Just God give me strength to do what is right. Show me what to do and I'll do it in the name of the Lord. Joseph, a good man, a just man, a man who was not afraid to make decisions. A man who was not afraid to do something if it seemed not to be popular. A man who was not afraid to be a laughingstock, that Mary not be put in a position that she should not be put in. Thank God for Joseph. Thank God for Joseph. Thank God for Joseph. And ladies, if you're single today, wait for a Joseph. Wait for a person of character and integrity and principle. Don't just marry anything that goes both ways. Ask God to give you a person that has a heart for God. Not just someone who's handsome or beautiful or someone that turns you on or someone that could fulfill you. Everything is short-lived if it's short of character. You can just count on that. It still comes back to character and integrity. Joseph, he just did the right thing. He dared to stand up and be a man.